Okay, so the Mishnah opens with a list of the Arba Avos, which again is reviewed later on as the parak continues, the later Mishnah from parak 12. A list that is somewhat surprising. Last Chazar Shir, we reviewed the rich debate amongst Rishonim as to how you organize the list. In contrast to the next listing of those four avos, the beginning of the Mishnah opens with Arba Avos Shor Bar Ma V'Hever, and then the middle of the Mishnah moves to Lo Rizeh Kirizeh, how you compare and contrast, where we have the order of Shor Ma V'Esh or Hever and Bar. That switch in order is what had triggered Rashi and others to work hard on figuring out why do we have this unique ordering in the beginning of the Mishnah? And how about the ordering in the middle of the Mishnah? So that Kosa explained to us, well, it's a carefully structured order. Any other order and the middle of the Mishnah wouldn't work. As indeed the Gemara tells us, we saw that Gemara more recently, the Gemara from Heyam and Aleph to Vava and Aleph, wants to know, is it really true that you can't learn any from any other? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, actually not. If you include Bor, cannot be learned from any other. Bor is the hardest, and Bor appears last in the sequencing in the middle of our Mishnah. But in fact, if you would use Bor as one of your first two, then you could borrow from Bor with Bechad Nehanav, the Gemara tells us on Hamzid. If you learn from Bor and one other, you can generate all the other others from that. So the Gemara says, well, then we're left wondering about the Mishnah's implied question, which is why did Torah have to give us so many different examples, so many different parshas of Nezek, just give us two, bar and pick your preference, and we could have learned all the rest from that. To which the Gemara answers, you're right, we could have learned the rest from that, as in, if you would have told me to say bar and regel, or bar and shein, or bar and ish, I could have learned whichever word written in the Chumash from bar and x. But the reason why, I would have known that the other cases are chai. I would have known that if Torah, let's say, would have written bor and regel, so I could have used the tzara shaveh to say, well, if you're chai to pay for bor and for regel, then you also chai to pay for esh. You also chai to pay for shame. Well, and machlokes in the Gemara, whether I would also would have derived that you're also chai to pay for keret. That's the machlokes we touched on later on. The Gemara says to Taka, why did the Torah write all of them? The Gemara says it's not that I need all of them because I couldn't have figured out Chiyuv by one and Chiyuv by the others. I could have figured out Chiyuv, but I wouldn't have known all the unique details. Each, what the Gemara calls Lehil Chosein. Each of the Avos Nezikin, the Torah says you're Chayav to pay, but with a twist. Each one has its own exceptions. You're Chayav to pay B'Shem V'Regel, but only B'Shus HaNizek, not B'Shus Haram. You're Chayav to pay for Eish, but perhaps not when for items which were tamed, items which were covered over. You have to pay for bar, but not if the davar hanizik was kavod. So since each parsha, each av has its own unique exceptions, which it does not share with the other avos, those exceptions, lehilchoseyan, the unique halachos, the unique hula of each av, I could not have guessed unless the Torah wrote it explicitly. Obviously, if you only told me bor and regel, you told me that bor is pater and kalim, regel is pater v'shus haravim, I would not have known, I could have figured out the ish is always yochayim if you light a fire, but I wouldn't have known that that's pater and tam. That's the Gemara. Ultimately, the Gemara says, the reason why I need all of them is not because I couldn't have derived this one from that one, assuming bor is in the mix, I could have derived everything from those two, but I wouldn't have known the detail halachos. Which then, of course, gets us wondering, so what is the point of the middle of our Mishnah? Spend so much time in the order of the beginning of the Mishnah. The order of the middle of the Mishnah, because that's a carefully chosen order that allows us to say, well, you can't learn C from A and B, and you can't learn D from A, B, and C. Yeah, because they put Aish, Shar, and Mav at first, and Aish in the middle, and Bar last. So Tosfos says, well, yeah, but then you could have. So then what's the point? It's not really the answer anyway. I mean, it is true that if the Torah would not have written bar, I couldn't have learned from the rest, but there's a better, larger answer, Lehil Chosein. So Tosa says, as we saw Tosa as well, you're right. As you get to Gemara, that's how you realize, in a different order, I could have learned some from others. But Yagdil Torah V'Yagdil. Oh, but this makes Torah big and great. Which of course leaves you scratching your head. I mean, I gave a kasha that you give a fancy terrace to, even though there's another. The terrace is true, but the Mishnah says it's false. It is true that you could not have learned Asian bar from Shahar Nada, but there's a better answer to that question, which is larger and broader. So when we organize it particularly so that we can give this answer, how does that make Torah big and great? Wouldn't it make Torah big and great if we gave a more effective answer that has better scope, an answer that applies across all levels? It's a strange thesis. So we saw the Ravid seems to be dealing with the same question. And Lechora, what he says in different language is probably what Tosfos is saying as well. And he's a little bit clearer. He says that Tana wanted Leftov Lenu Pesach Bidvar. Tana wanted to open the door to the conversation. Tana wanted to open up a conversation. That's very fascinating. Meaning, Lechora, what he's driving at, Lechora, that's what Yadu Tarav Yad means. And Lechora, what the Ravid means, which I would think is also what Tosfos means, is that everything the Mishnah said is true. There might be other answers you can give as well, i.e. Lil Hosein, but what this true, albeit unnecessary, answer is doing, which is necessary, is to introduce us into the thinking of Rav Kahn. It's getting us rolling with some of the key smarts, which is interesting. And then we saw that once we started looking at those key smarts, we recognize that actually these are not just a svara in Tum Baba Kama, they actually might be the most fundamental svaras in Baba Kama. And then we appreciate even more the idea of Leftov Lenu Pesach Bidvar. The Mishnah raised a kasha, why the talk to write Eishin Bar, why the love from Shar and Mama, whatever Mama is. There might be other answers to that question, better answers in the sense that it answers this question and similar questions, as in, why didn't Tar just write Baradesh, but what's more powerful about this answer is it introduces us to some key svaras. And that brings us back to what in Shiur originally we started the Sugi with, which is because we ended with Yadatar V'Yadir. But now, looking back, we can look at it from a different angle. And the Yadatar V'Yadir, Lotarvon Pesach V'Dvar, actually sets the stage for the significance of what we're about to do, which is to ask, what on earth are the svaras of Mishnah? The first svara in Baba Kama. The Mishnah Baba Kama begins by surveying the territory in Torah Shebichtav, Shor Bar Mava Heather. And then opens with svaras. The very first svara is, well, if he would have only told me Shor Mava, I would not have known Eish nor Bar. Why? Because Shor Mava are what? Sharmaga art says the Mishnah Allah. The first svara in Mesechus Nezikin, the first svara in Seder Nezikin, which the Mishnah calls at the end of Mesechus Nezikin, Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra, talks about the particular role that deep svara plays in Mesechus Nezikin. The first svara is, if I only was on Sharmaga, I would have said, they're Chayim, Eshibar, not because after all, Sharmaga are alive. That's the first svara of all of Masechta Zizikin. Pretty counterintuitive svara. If anything, I would have said, Fakert. Why am I should be more responsible for what I totally control. I should be less responsible for what I control somewhat, but the truth be told, there's this randomness element of my animal will ultimately choose, my animal has a certain degree of, so to speak, the fear of Hashem. It acts out of instinct, but there's a certain degree of unpredictability. I can't know for certain what my animal will do. I don't fully control it. I do control the results of my actions directly. I dug the pit and I walked away. Okay. I lit the fire and I walked away. If anything, I should be more chayiv. I should be more responsible for something that was the result of my actions alone and not of any other sentient being. As opposed to, I do own a dog, I could have locked him up, but nicely, he chose to bite the postman. My pet rabbit chose to munch on your kale or your carrots. So why is Rav Chaim starting to be more chayav? If anything, he should be starting to be less chayav. Hello, Dover. Hello, Dover. And then the second question is the second svara of the Mishnah. But the whole of Hamazik, that requires some understanding also. Why is it that I'm more chayev if the shor, the mava, the eish, because they move, I'm more chayev? Because the bar moves, less exercise. That's right, a little easier to understand. Let's first move over to chayev and we'll come to the others. Then, there was a remarkably, what seemed like a remarkably bizarre Rashba, which both the Chasam Sofer and the Chasam Sofer and the Rabar Haber both get very excited about. This is the Rashba on that Bezon Beis, which parallels the Tosfos that we later learn on that Bezon Beis by Karen Talusha and Karen Mechuberes. The Rashba is trying to figure out, the Rebbe of the Sugya there on Bezon Beis talks about, well, I only would have had, now we appreciate Sugya more because we really dug into it more thoroughly since we first saw it. Well, if I only would have had the first Pasuk of Tzitzki Ben Kanana, I would have thought that the term Negicha Chumash means only Karen Talusha. I have thought it's only when the animal pokes with something that's holding. I would have thought the term negicha does not include, definitionally, doesn't include the actual organic form in the animal. And the Gemara goes on to say, and therefore, I would have said, maybe the Torah says, when you do, animal does negicha, it's chatzi nezek for tam, but nezek shalim for mu'ud, that's only by Karen Talusha. Karen Mechuberes would be different. What would be, says the Gemara? I would have thought that Karen Mechuberes is nezek shalim. The Tosis asks the question, well, how would you come to that conclusion? Rajba asks that question as well, and sort of backs up to an earlier point in the text. He says, well, let's say I wouldn't know. So I have no idea. So why would I just assume that? So the Rajba raises a remarkable first suggestion that Tosis, and then later on gets to other ideas, which include what Tosis says. Rajba says, no, maybe. The reason why I would have said he should be chayv nezek shalom if I don't know what the din is because safek nezikin is a hachmer, like safek isurim, as opposed to safek mamon. By mamon, we know when that beginning of the year, hamotzeh mechaver v'raya. Not sure if I should pay you more or less, I pay less. Not sure if I should pay you or not pay you, I don't pay you. But the rabbi said, oh, but maybe here I would have said, Safek nezikin is lahachner, like by yisurim, and therefore sveka derais lachumra. So if we're not sure if you pay chazi nezek shalim, you should pay nezek shalim. Whoa! The chasim sofer and the baruch beir said, what's that mean? Is nezikin not mamon? So they both come up in different varieties. The following suggestion. At this point, the Gemara that Beis and Beis is not discussing in detail a particular situation where it's not clear what my animal did, what your animal did, what his. We're still discussing core concepts. What is Nezika? What is Negicha? Does Negicha include this or that? We're still at the level, the Daf Beis level, of trying to define the Yesodos. So it could be there is an element of Issa. What does that mean? So here comes the major hakir, which will help us to make sense of all three things. The Rajba's subdivis will chumra, and Nizikin is Isser rather than Mamo, the Svara of Ruachayim, and the Svara of Darkalad Lahazik, particularly the way the Rajba seems to treat it later on in that very Rajba. And the idea would go as follows, that we know that the Torah introduces us to the notion that there is an Isser Lazik. The Torah says, just like there's an Isser to steal, and if you stole, you have to pay. So too, there's an Isser to cause Nezik, and if the Nezik was caused, including by your property, you need to pay. And mentioned that the Cycler, in his first piece on the Sefer Bava Kamma, anthologizes this topic. He looks around, he malakeh, where are the psukim and chumash that might be the source For the centurion says, Aser. Where does it say Aser? It says you have to pay. Where does it say Aser? Yeah, you have to pay. Giant, nothing you have to pay for. I have to. If I buy something, I have to pay. Is it Aser to buy things? No. If I borrow money, I have to pay it back. Is it Aser to borrow money? No. If I hire a worker, I have to pay him. Is it Aser to hire a worker? Absolutely not. But just because you have to pay for something doesn't make it a forbidden act. So the stipler works hard and found Rabbi Yona in the parish and prayer office and here and there, and some more obvious than others. And all that, I can't stand idly by while you get damaged. So I certainly can't cause you to get damaged. So maybe it's by a severe violation of Osama Dam Re'echa. Maybe it's a severe violation of Hashavas Aveda. As I'm doing the opposite, I'm actively running against Hashavas Aveda. Maybe it's some other, and maybe it's even below Yishmerenu Ba'Allah. Maybe it's the implication, the way the Torah presents, you have to pay because you didn't watch. Implication being, you should have watched. Certainly, whether it's the implication of that pasuk or not, the fact that there is an Isser. So the Achronim say, well, let's think about what that Isser means. Meaning, it's wrong of me. I did wrong. Not only I did wrong if I put my fist through your window, I did wrong if I allowed my animal to jump through your window. I did wrong if I allowed my animal to eat up your carrots. I did wrong if I allowed the bar that I dug to cause you harm. I did wrong. What do you mean I did wrong? So let's translate it. If it was an avdeir for me to allow that to happen, that means I have a chiyuv to prevent such things. And by allowing it to happen, I violate that chiyuv. In other words, it's not just that my property, the damage I have to pay for my property did, but that I have, as the Mishnah tells us, I have a chiyuv shmira. And the chiyuv shmira is generating the chiyuv to pay if I violate the chiyuv shmira. That's that core chakira that these Achronim raise. Why am I paying for nizkei mamon? Presumably, well, one can debate this as well, but presumably, when I actually do a nezek, if it's other mamazik, I'm probably chayiv for the results of my actions. I did a nezek, that's machayiv me to pay. The question is, how do you understand the acts of my animal? So you mentioned, you know, sometimes I am chayiv for the acts of my animal, perhaps. That's one way of thinking of shvisas behema on Shabbos, right? So how do you understand it here? Is it I have to pay for my animal did? Was that the Torah's chiddush? My animal's meisim are me? Or the chiddush was that I have a chiyuv shmira. And if I was posheya, if I was negligent, the chiyuv shmira, I have to pay for the results of my negligence. Is it my animal's meisa? Or is it what I did, or rather what I didn't do? My animal's action or my inaction? Which one am I paying for? And that might lie at the heart. So number one, that lies at the heart of this opening line of the Rashba. To say that this is suffering Isser is probably rooted in an interesting application of this idea. That once you get to details, a particular situation with Reuven and Shimon and Levi, you know what happened? Okay, at that point we're debating, does Reuven have to pay Levi or not? So we say, we're still at sort of the most fundamental level of defining what was the Torah talking about. When it said Ki'iga, that if you accept that it's a Pshira and Shmira, that means that we're trying to define what are the bounds of the Torah's Chiyuv Shmira for me. Now again, that may also hinge somewhat on the question of Pagadus Gemara, Pagadus Kasa or not. But it sounds like how the Rashba is reading this. That we're really debating, not just in this particular instance, does Reuven pay Shimon or not, but what is the chiyuv that the Torah set down for us to follow? What's the standard the Torah set for us as owners of property? So that at its core, one could argue, is really a din in Isser v'Heter. I have a mitzvah to watch my items. I have an Isser to not watch my items. That's Isser v'Heter. There's a financial aspect that flows from it. If I violate it, that chiyuv I have to pay. But and if you understand that the Tashlumei Nezek is driven by Pshiyah B'Shmira, a question of what is Ki'igah is a question of what are the chiyuvei Shmira that the Torah set for you, which could be construed as Isser v'Heter. Much as I think we mentioned, Rosh Hashanah is a beautiful article, Bigger Bear, some other cases like that, or sometimes in an area, a halacha in one field could have ramifications in a different field, perhaps, or perhaps not. There's an iser for a kohen to become tamei lameis, but maybe at its core that's a halacha in Tumah Tahara, and it has ramifications, iser v'hetar, or not. Maybe nida at its core is Tumah Tahara, then has ramifications in the world of, between husband and wife, in the world of iser v'hetar, or not. A question to ask oneself. See, here too, Rashba in his opening line, when he suggests, well, maybe sometimes l'chumra, that character Rashba gave may be rooted in saying, number one, at that core, that he's accepting the tzad of the tashlumi nezek is not driven by the maisa of my mamon, but rather by my own shir b'shmira, and as such, it's rooted in the chiyuv to pay is really rooted in what a question of what's my mitzvah, what's my chov shmir. Okay. Number one. Number two, that may explain Ruach Chaim. Because we saw that some, Rabban Yonason and others in Shittim Kubetzas, seem to read Ruach Chaim as, since it's alive and unpredictable, I know it's alive and unpredictable, and therefore I know that I need to, that's very risk, there's greater risk, and therefore I really should have been very careful with it. I would have thought, in other words, that there's more of Shmira, and there's greater pshia in not watching my animal. Rabbi Yonason is already, and the others in the Shittim Kvet says, they're already reading pshia b'shmira into step one in that shock of the tire. And it's a detail in terms of where would you draw the line in terms of pshia b'shmira. Since it's a Ruach Chaim, it's more risky. I know it's more risky. I should have known to be extra careful. I was much more posheya in allowing my animal to run amok than allowing the fire or the bar to run amok. However, in other words, it's a detail within the Gemara's, the Mishnah's motion is a detail within the tzad of Shri Bishmir. The Shekhtar suggested many, many years ago, and mentioned that it found this year that the Birkas Avram suggests this as well, that I suggested it may be based in a Rashba, which we'll get to in a moment, that maybe Ruach Chaim is really, the Havamin of Ruach Chaim is rooted in the other way of looking at things. That you can only speak meaningfully of my animal's Maisa. So had the Torah only told me Shor and Maveh, which are animal and maybe person, I would have said, yeah, you're Chaim because of the Maisa, your own Maisa, if you hold that Maveh Zadam, or the animal's Maisa. But I would have thought, the fire, the bar, there's no maisa, and therefore there's no chiyuv. Kamash malan ish. And then, the Rashba seems to say, maybe that's even the next step with ish as well. I would have thought, ish. Also, even Torah would have told me shor and mava and ish, I would have thought, oh yeah, those three are chayim, but not all alive, at least they're all holy chumazik. They're all mobile. So Rabbi Shechter and the Bricks of Rav both suggest, and he's there too, the ish is not alive, but at least it's moving. So I can, in some sense, in a broader, looser sense, speak of that as a maisa. If I want to be a little bit elastic in how I define an action, there isn't a sentient, rational actor in the fire, but at least it's moving. I can construe that somewhat as an action. But the bar, in a whole of a mazik, it's stationary. There's no way, in any sense, you can call the bar an actor, or even to call the person falling into the bar an act of the bar. It's only an act of the guy who walked in. He's the nizak, not the mazik. So, in which case, the Mishnah is not already set on the tzad of shir b'shmira and just sort of litigating details. The Mishnah is debating the motion from Havamin to Maskana in the middle of the Mishnah is fundamental. If I would have had only two or three parshios, Shor and Mava, maybe Ish, I would have mistakenly, totally misunderstood all of Nizkei Mamon. I would have thought that it's based on Maisa Nezek. My Mamon's Maisa. Kamash Malan Bar, that's in the Hall of Hamazik, clearly, once you get to Bar, clearly it's not. I'm not chai, at least not solely because my mamon's maaser, because there is no maaser by bar, and yet Torah said I'm chayim, so that indicates that there's something other than my mamon's maaser which is driving the chiyuv to pay, namely my own shia the Shmir. And to close, for today, we saw that this Svara is not only a Svara of two Chachamim of the last couple of decades, it's, I believe, Merumah's in the Rashba as well. Because in that same Rashba, a couple of lines later, you turn the page, so he's discussing the question of can you or can you not learn a Kal V'Chomer by a Nezikin? A question which Tosas raises on that Beis Amud Aleph. Tosas below, and Tzibat below. Right, and the Chilta says that Ein Onshin Mamon Min Hadin. You can't learn a drasha by bar. And the question is, well, there seems to be a whole lot of evidence that we do make drashas, as in the Gemara dot Beis Amud Beis, as in the Mishnah dot Beis Amud Aleph. The very first thing the Mishnah says, well, you couldn't have learned one from the other because of Peter Fadumi. According to the Mechilta, you can't learn one from the other because they don't Shimon and I did. What's going on? Tosas posits, well, parents of Machlokas, this Mechilta runs in the face of Mishnah Yisit Devar and Baruch Kano, which is acceptable. Machlokas HaTanan. But surprising, that's pretty fundamental Machlokas HaTanan. The Rashba says, no. The Chilta is just not a machlokas. Maybe it's a machlokas. Maybe the Chilta is holding on one Gemara later in the Masechta. It's not a machlokas on the Mishnah. Nah. The Chilta is very, very, very limited scope. Only bar. And why? Bar, because bar is so mechudash. And here's where the Rashba goes on to give three chidushim of bar. And here's the tricky part. The first and the third chidushim appear to be identical. Because the first one is what our Mishnah says, the official chidush of bar, that it's in a whole of the magic. The third one is that the nizak had to come to the bar. Well, that sounds like in a whole of the magic. That's the whole point of in a whole of the magic. So the nizak had to participate. The nizak had to come to it. So you look at this Raj, you wonder, he's clearly saying there's something to what the Mishnah said in all of the Mazik, aside from the practical point that then Nizak himself must have walked into the bar. What else could it be? So according to Rav Shach and Rav Ram, the Rashba is gorgeous. Because in all of the Mazik is a much more fundamental point. In all of the Mazik is the statement that in Lundis, there's no Maisa Nazik. The bar didn't do a Maisa. That's one point that our Mishnah was making. A separate point, which is rooted in the same physical reality, but a different halachic difference that emerges as physical reality, the physical reality of the immobility of the bar. Immobility of the bar, number one, makes it clear that the only factor to create a chiyav nezek is my pshiyah bishmira, not the mamon's maisa, because there is no maisa of the bar. That was point number one. Well, point number three was, given the immobility of the bar, practically speaking, not only did my bar do no maisa, but the nizak participated. Not wittingly, but the nizak did in some way participate. If the shor attacks the nizak did nothing. If the fire spreads and burns down someone else's house, the house didn't play any role. But here, the nizak did play some role by walking into the pit. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't realize what was going to happen, which is why indeed Halacha Maisa, you are, the Baal HaBar is Chayiv. We don't say, no, it's the victim's fault, he shouldn't have walked in. But that's a Chiddush. The Torah is Megalatas. And that's Chiddush number three of the Rashba, distinct and separate and independent of Chiddush number one, in Halacha Mazdik, which again, according to Shechten and Berk Zavav, Gevaldik, in Halacha Mazdik, something far more fundamental than that. Not a question of shared liability, a question of what is the nature of this nezek. There was no masa on the part of my bar, and the Torah is being mechadish, you don't need a maisa in order to be chayiv for nizke mamon. So now, as we said, all the pieces fall into place. We understand with this chakira, with the approach of pshiyah b'shmira, we understand the Rashba's notion that we can see the fundamental categories of nezikin as as Iser, and we begin to understand the svara of Ruach Chaim, and we understand the svara of Eino Holech Umazek. I think you mentioned, of course, the Shurim. There are other pieces that that perhaps fall into place as well. Rav Chaim discusses based on Kufr Kapara. There are maybe other Gemaras as well that fall into place once you have this approach that Mamon HaMazik is not a the chiyuv on Mamon HaMazik is the chiyuv on Mamon HaMazik is not driven necessarily by the Maisa of my Mamon, but rather by my own, the person, not the Mamon's Maisa, but the person's Shira, the person's lack of Shmira. And now finally we look back at that Tosus and the Raivid, the Yadlut HaRav Yadir, Luftal Fla Pesach Vidvar. Yeah. There is a better, there's a broader Teretz, the question of why did Torah have to write all these different parshas? That's what Hilchos saying. But by focusing specifically on why did Torah have to write Eish and Bar, you could answer what Hilchos saying. There's also a deeper answer, a narrower, but deeper answer given to those, which is this opens up the Kor Hakira. I wouldn't have realized that it's Shia B'Shmir. I would have thought it's the Mice of my mom. So that, exactly, is the Pesach Vidvar the Mishnah wanted to open up for us.